Well, it has been quite a week in the Christian church. Of course, we remember that many of us came last Sunday, and we call that Palm Sunday. And as we gathered, we waved the palm branches. We celebrated that Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem as a king, yet he rode on a donkey. And as he came into that city of Jerusalem, we realized it moved from the palms of the celebrations to the passion, where we realized the rest of the week would come the passion of Jesus Christ as he was crucified on the cross and beaten and scourged and placed there from the Father's sacrificial love, that his blood would be shed to take away our sin. Realize when he came into the city, several other things reflected his passion. It's recorded in Scripture that Jesus cried over the city of Jerusalem. He said, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and the scholars who come to you, stoning them." And he wept over that city because he realized not everyone would get it, not everyone would understand. He also at that day came into the city, went to the temple, and said this, "My Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all nations." And in that time, he turned over the tables of the money changers, realizing that there are so many things that get in the way when people worship. And we may talk about that a little bit more today. But he turned over the tables of the money changers and said, "Don't hinder people from coming. My Father's house is to be a house of prayer for all nations." And as the time went along throughout the week, we celebrated together Holy Thursday service, where we broke the bread and took the cup, and we did that with our neighbors at First Baptist Church. And again, we brought together in unity all throughout the week at noontime service different people from different churches together to worship and to break the bread of life together. And then Good Friday, we had a special service here where we told the story of the crucifixion of Jesus, where he was taken to the cross and killed and placed in the tomb. And we've had visual reminders, and we've had auditory reminders, and we've had all these reminders of the week that led up to this day. And so we did not pass from celebration to celebration, but we went through the valley of despair and death so that we could see what the resurrection of Jesus was all about in the empty tomb. And so we celebrate together the risen Lord today. And it's great to have you here. I say to many of you, welcome back. And mostly I'm talking to those folks who have come back from warmer places than this. You did a really smart thing. You went away to places that were warmer than this. But we realize as the springtime comes, the spring of our souls comes out and we can celebrate. And we break free from some of the bondages that have to do with winter. I want to take us back. Some of you might be great historians. On the 200th celebration of our nation's birthday, July 4th, 1976, some of you remember this very well, we celebrated 200 years of our nation's birth. But there was also a major headline that happened that day. And as some of you might have heard it in the early service, or I checked it out with you. But on that day, it was that season of life when there was a lot of hijacking of airliners. Those preludes to those times when we really had higher security and higher security measures. But Air France airliner was hijacked about the week before that from Tel Aviv, Israel, and it was diverted. It was heading on to Paris, and it was diverted to Tripoli, and then I think they pulled off all the people who were not the staff and all the people who were not Israeli in national origin. They let 150 people go, and they kept about 94 hostages and 12 staff. And then that airplane was taken, that Air France plane was flown into the Entebbe airport, which is in the nation of Uganda. And it sat there, and we remember that there was this hostage negotiation, the PLFP. And I can't remember quite what that stands for, but Palestinian Liberation Front for the Liberating of People or something. And I'm not mocking that. I'm just saying that I can't remember all the names and letters. But they held the Israelis hostage so that other Palestinians could be released on that day. It was the day we celebrate our freedom and the freedom of this nation. But for that moment, those 94 people plus the staff were held hostage. And realize on midnight of that day, those people were all in a building on the grounds of the Entebbe airport. And in the stealth of night, the Israeli forces came in, the commando forces came in, somehow snuck through, came from Israel, refueled in the Kenyan airport in Nairobi, and then came in and landed somehow without detection of radar and landed their planes and then came up and brought those commandos to that building. And here is how it transpired from that point on. The commandos broke into that building somehow in the stealth of night, when you can catch more people off guard. People are sleeping. Guards are not guarding quite as well. And they yelled out in Hebrew, "Stay down! Stay down! We are Israeli forces." And those who knew Hebrew had no problem. They stayed down because they could detect what that meant. But the others who were holding them hostage, of course, jumped up and moved and got alert. And of course, they were all gunned down and killed. But those who knew Hebrew stayed down. And that was one of the great liberations and one of the great escapes that happened in these times of hostage taking. Only, I believe there are still three that were killed. All of the hostage takers were killed. And the head of those forces took a bullet or bullets and died. And his name was Yohanan Netanyahu. And yes, he was the brother of Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. But it was a great escape story, a great escape victory. And today in the Church of Jesus Christ, we celebrate the great escape. Jesus broke the bonds of death, and he made a way for us not to be held by the bonds of death, but to be freed from all that will hold us. And I want to just take a couple quick parallels between the freedom Christ has given us and that great escape. First of all, those hostages were unable to help themselves. They didn't come onto a plane armed or dangerous. They went onto a plane to take a flight to Paris. Freedom came because trained commandos came to their rescue, defeating their captors. And we are powerless, my friends, to be free from the bondage of sin. But Christ came to set us free and has completely, and I say that word, completely defeated Satan through the cross. He can have no power over us unless we give it to him. Completely. Secondly, the hostage plane was a daring rescue. The commandos had to be willing to risk their lives to free their countrymen. And God's plan was even more daring. Jesus came to die in our place on the cross. Jesus took our sin upon him and paid the penalty of death. That's a bold plan. And the interesting thing is, Satan fell for that plan, and he thought he had won. Many of the people around thought, well, this is defeated, this is done. But God had planned the resurrection, and on the third day, everything changed forever. The third thing about this, the plan, was a plan required to follow simple instructions. Simple instructions were given. Stay down, stay down. Everyone who heard those words, stay down, stay down. But only some knew what they meant. Those who did as they were told were rescued. And I want to remind us similarly that God's call goes out to everyone who is held captive by sin. God's call goes out to everyone, and it can be understood by everyone. Those who did as they were told were rescued. God's call comes out to everyone held in captive in sin. And God's call is this: believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That's pretty clear. Everyone who listens to God's word and does what God says can be saved. Can be saved. Maybe we've become numb to that, but I'm not. And I pray you're not. And a fourth thing about this rescue: having been set free, the hostages lived as free people. Can you imagine any one of those hostages, those Israeli citizens, going back to be wanting to be held hostage again? By a liberation front kind of people? No. They didn't refuse to return to their families. They didn't demand to stay in that place of captivity. They were freed. And as Christians, we too are able to live in freedom. And unfortunately, while Christ has set us free, too many seem to go back and want to return to bondage. This is why I've given you this new memory verse, and hopefully we'll make up some of those new little cards for you and have them ready for next week. But in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul hits it right upon the head. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." That's the first bold statement of that. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He went to the cross to free us. And the second part of that is this. Stand firm then in that freedom. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And that's a very vivid picture. When it says taking a yoke upon you, that yoke is heavy. That yoke is meant to be strong enough to bear the weight of the pull of the oxen against the load that they're pulling. Stand firm. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen? And I want us to keep kind of working on that memory verse. It's that other one that we've used has been so precious to us. And I'll get to that in a moment. Jesus has set us free to live in freedom. Live as someone who is free. Easter. And Jesus' resurrection being the sign and the seal. Don't let yourselves be taken captive again. You and I have the choice to live in freedom or to be taken captive by the enemy. Some of you are thinking, well, I don't really remember being taken captive. I don't necessarily feel like a hostage. Sometimes our bodies are taken captive with addictions. And even the one that we don't talk about so much, unhealthy lifestyles, overeating, including obesity, including too much of a diet. Our bodies are taken captive. Sometimes our minds are taken captive and we don't even realize it. And we begin polluting them with media that demeans and tears down humanity. Even, my friends, some of the sensational news reporting that captivates us and we can't get away from it, because they've made it so strong for us. They've made it so interesting for us. And we don't get some of our usual important things done because we're hooked on the news. And sometimes our hearts are captive. Jesus said, you can only serve one master. You cannot serve both God and money. Some of us try, but you cannot serve both God and money. Straight out of the one who knows it all, the one who created us, Jesus Christ. Our hope and our future sometimes are captive. And how does that go? The lies of Satan, our hope and future are captive. Satan lies to us and says, you're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You're not worth much. And he lies right out there to us. And our hopes and futures are held captive. And sometimes that may have come through a beloved person to us, and they've kind of somehow sowed Satan's seed into us, not the seed of God into us, and we're held captive. I'm not done yet. Some of us, our time is held captive. Too many of us are caught up in busy-ness that revolves and seems to get us nowhere, but it keeps on going, and we're happy because we're busy, but we're not necessarily busy on the right things for ourselves and our souls. Our time is held captive. And Satan's caught us up. We're Americans. We have this American work ethic, and we like to get things done, and we want to be involved, and we want to do things, and we have our children and things, and pretty soon it's a vicious cycle, and we're caught running a treadmill. And lastly, our captivity to anger. Our captivity to anger. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he could have said, unfair. He could have said, you're wrong. He could have said any number of things. But we're held captivity ourselves to our anger. And we're needing to give forgiveness. And for some of us, that is the hardest thing that we could even think of doing. It's the hardest thing that we can do, to give up our forgiveness and give up our anger. And we're held captivity to it. and it's not going to resolve until we get it done. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. The beloved disciple of Jesus who heard Jesus say so many of the wonderful things and recorded them very carefully says, Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Praise God for that. Some of you have been around for much of this season, the last few months, and we've been working with a memory verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. Some of you have just kind of drilled this into your heart. For God has not given you a spirit of anger, a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. That verse is what Easter and the resurrection is all about. He hasn't given us fear. He's given us boldness. He hasn't given us timidity. He's given us everything that we can have it for ourselves. Power, love, self-control. We have the things we need because He's given it to us. The Apostle Paul was right, not wrong. That verse is a direct response to the resurrection. I'm going to give you four things and then we're out of here. The first is this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means He is still alive and among us today. Some of you are saying, I haven't seen Him. I've never touched Him. That's true. He's not visible in the same way. We can feel Him. We can know Him. He said, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. He said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. This was Paul's record of what he knew from God. The resurrection of Jesus means He's alive and among us today. He didn't give up on us. He just got started on us when He was raised from the grave. Amen? Second, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that everything He said, everything, every promise He gave, every claim He made is good and it is stamped with heaven's verification. Everything. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, the glory of God, the Father. And all of those promises are true. I remember that old song, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. I wish we could sing that. You know, I know it's a kid's song, but every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line. And the third thing, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means that death is defeated. We need never fear that faker called death again. Some of you are still saying, well, I'm still afraid of death. I'm afraid of dying. I'm afraid of that illness that would lead up to dying. And I just want to say, we can live boldly. Some of us have trusted our lives to Jesus Christ, or trusted our lives to God, and we've died to sin and we've been raised to new life. That's the symbol of baptism. And it has come in a variety of ways. We said, I'm in, I believe. And when we say we believe and follow Him, we are dead to the old life, raised to the new life. We don't want to take back some of the old things again. And I know those things want to come back. They want to trouble us. They want to haunt us. And we say, remember me, I want to come back. And we can live boldly saying, no, you can't touch me anymore. All right? One of the precious verses of Scripture, it's 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, says, who abolished, they're talking about Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Essentially saying, Jesus nullified the power of death, putting it out of business. And we'll say, well, people still die. People still exit this life to go on to eternal life. People still stop breathing in this earth here and their bodies are done. Yes, that's true. But those who believe go redeemed straight to God some way, somehow, in God's time. Not enough time to explain all that. There's not really death in a way that truly matters. Friends, I can live boldly. Some people say, well, why do you do that? Well, how can you do that? How can you go to a foreign country? You might be grabbed and captured and whatever. You might get a bug and get sick and die. You might, well, how can you ride a motorcycle because it's dangerous and all that stuff? And I say, but I've already died once. There's two deaths. I died to sin, raised to new life. So I've already died. I'm in a bonus time now. And some of you understand what that means, and some of you would love to understand what that truly means. But we can live a bold life. When I accepted Jesus, I died to that. And He set me free. Free! Not to take up some of those prisons again. And the fourth, not to take up any of those tombs, those captivities that I talked about. And we're going to get into that some more in the next few weeks. Fourthly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means we have a gospel unlike any other message on the planet. And everyone needs to hear it. The good news of Jesus Christ is the best message that there is. Now, we could probably get more people into the church if we said it will make you richer and thinner and smarter. Some of you are getting this. It'll come to you. But you'll probably fill churches if we promise people some things that we don't really know if they can happen. But what I can tell you is you can have eternal life. You can have salvation. You can have freedom through Jesus Christ. And that's a guarantee. And you and I are messengers. If we've heard it, and when you hear good news, you pass it on. When that plane on the midnight of 1976 was freed, those of us who care about the things of the world and justice and injustices, we're happy and we pass on. Someone passed on to me because I was out planting corn that morning for my uncle. Passed on to me. I wasn't listening to the radio. Passed on to me the good news. That airliner is freed. Those 94 hostages, they're freed. When we have good news, we pass it on. We have the best news that there is. And we break the news to those who are still in fear of death. And we have the privilege of unlocking the chains that hold them in darkness and despair and bondage. We're messengers. Jesus has set us free. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. So let's stand in that firmly. I'm going to quote two preachers and then we're done. The Prince of Preachers, his name was Phillips Brooks, and for some of you got this title, the Prince of Preachers. He just was eloquent with words. And it probably back toward the turn of the other century. Some of you don't remember that one, but when it went from 1800 to 1900, the turn of that century. And he said, "Let every man and woman count himself immortal. Let him catch the revelation of Jesus in his resurrection. Let him say, not merely Christ is risen, but let him say, I shall rise." To which I might add, let him say, I am free. I am free. That is a very wise man, eloquent with words, and I added a little bit to it. And another great preacher woke on one Easter, and he just began repeating to himself. Maybe he didn't have an early service, so he laid in bed for a while. And he just began repeating to himself, Christ is risen. Christ is alive. He just kept thinking about that. He said his body is warm. And he said he is not the great I was, but he is the great I am. The great I am. Jesus is not I was. He is the Son of God, the risen Lord. He is the great I am, which connects way back to Moses when Moses asked God, who are you? And God says, I am. And that's enough. That's enough.